The Holy Gospel is written in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 44. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge, for I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak." This is the Gospel of Christ. Now will you sit down, please, and turn with me in your Bibles to page 234. Page 234. This is the epistle that was read to us on Christmas Day. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the worlds. He, that is the Son, he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Gracious and loving God, your word is a precious word. What it says to us is beautiful, and the way it says it is beautiful. We ask that the wonder of your word might catch at our hearts this morning, and we ask also that you will give us minds really to pay heed to what your word says. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you make New Year resolutions? No? Yes? Bit of a waste of time, I think, really. I've never made a resolution that lasted beyond the 2nd of January. So I suppose it was a New Year resolution. That was the end of it. So I don't bother with them now. I sometimes make New Year wishes. That, I think, is more realistic. But what I have for you this morning is a New Year recipe. How about that? A recipe is how to get something done, how to achieve something. And my New Year recipe is in these words in Hebrews that I've just read to you. It occurred to me on Christmas Day when I heard these words read as the epistle, it occurred to me, this is the sort of passage whereby we would say, oh, I can't understand that. And do you know why we say that? Because we read our Bibles too quickly. Instead of reading our Bibles bit by bit and understanding each bit as it comes, we allow the passage to blur in our minds. Oh, that's much too difficult for me. Well, look at this passage, will you? Have you got a Bible open? Page 334. 234, actually. 234. Just look at what it says. Take it bit by bit. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. Now, what's difficult about that? Isn't it perfectly plain? It's a description of the whole Bible, isn't it? All through what we call the Old Testament, God was speaking to people. Sometimes he was teaching them about himself and indeed about themselves through events. That's why most of the history books in the Old Testament are actually described in the Hebrew Bible as the former prophets, because it is history telling a story, declaring truth. And all through the Old Testament, in one way or another, sometimes in events, sometimes in experiences, sometimes in words through the prophets, sometimes in songs through the Psalms. That's why it says in many ways and at different times. So varied is what we call the Old Testament. But all the time, God was telling, if you'll pardon the expression, bits and bobs about himself. A bit here, a bit there. Now in this way, now in that way. And it was all adding up. Do you know the word cumulative? Adding up into a heap. Accumulating. It was all accumulating. Nothing false, everything true, and each bit adding to another bit to accumulate all through the Old Testament a revelation of God. God was speaking. And then those former days came to an end, and God did something absolutely astonishing. He spoke to us by a son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's the first thing that we learn in this little passage of three verses. The vital point came, and the accumulation of the Old Testament came to a climax and a completion and a unique event. God spoke to us by a son. Now, learn a little bit about how great that son is. He is the heir of all things, through whom also he, that is God, created the worlds. The Lord Jesus is the heir and the creator of everything that there is. An heir is someone waiting for a promised inheritance. And in that sense, we can speak humanly and say Jesus is waiting for his inheritance. He is waiting to inherit the perfection of this creation, the new heaven and the new earth, which will be his possession and over which he will reign. That little bit is looking forward to the end, when the Lord Jesus takes full and final possession of everything that there is and reigns over it all as its Lord. But now go to the other end, by whom also he created. The Lord Jesus, who is there at the end as the possessor of all things, is there at the beginning as the creator of all things. So we learn about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator of the earth and ultimately the possessor of the earth. Read on. He is, verse 3, the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of his very being. My word. That word reflection really means the outshining. You think of an ordinary thing like an electric light bulb. Inside, at the very heart of the bulb, there is the point of light itself. Is that what we call the filament? I never know these things, but if it's the filament, then that's the filament. The burning point of light at the heart of the bulb. And then from that burning heart of light, there is the outshining of the light that fills the whole room. And the outshining is the same as the burning heart, and yet it's different. Do you see? And the Lord Jesus is the outshining of the burning light of the Father. He is the same in that he's shining the same light. He's different in that he is the outshining and not the burning heart. The light he brings is the very light of God himself. Not only so, but he is the exact imprint of God's very being. When I was a boy, one of my prized small possessions, though I've lost it since and I'm sorry, was a little ivory-handled seal. It was a beautiful little thing. And the seal itself, when you looked at it, of course, everything on the seal is back to front and you can't make much head or tail of it. But when it was stamped into wax, it was a lovely little picture of a thistle with a motto all round it. It's a very beautiful little thing. Now, that's the picture here, the imprint. The Father is far away out of our sight. So what has he done? He has created a seal or imprint of himself and printed that down in the wax so that when we see the Lord Jesus, we see the Father in all his glory. He's the outshining of the Father's light, and he is the very imprint of the Father's image. So in the Lord Jesus, we bask in the light of God and we look at the face of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Read on, there's one more thing. When he had made... No, there's two more things. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ again in relation to the world. He sustains all things by his powerful word. In the beginning, it was he who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And all through the work of creation in Genesis chapter 1, it is the word of God that creates. He speaks and it is done. He commands and they are created. And that same creative word holds the word in place and keeps it in being. He sustains all things by the word of his power. So we've added a little further truth to our knowledge of the greatness of the Lord Jesus. He is there at the beginning as the creator, and he's there at the end as the one who will possess and reign, and he's there all the way through the middle as the one who sustains everything in being. How great is the Lord Jesus Christ? I just pause now to add up for a moment. He came to be the climax and the completeness of the revelation of God. God spoke all through the ages through prophets. Then he spoke to us finally through his Son, the Word of God, finally, completely, uniquely. In relation to the world, how great he is, the creator, the sustainer, the possessor. everything. In relation to God, how marvelous is the revelation of God in the Son, and how complete. He brings us the light of the Father, and he bears the image of the Father. So we're accumulating bit by bit, point by point. You see, if you read slowly, it all makes sense. How great is this Lord Jesus Christ? Now, what do you think he did with his greatness? Think of any of the earth's rulers and put them in that position of greatness. What would they do? Well, I tell you what they'd do. They'd do great works of power for their own glory. They'd subdue people for their own exaltation. So here's Jesus. He's the Father's final word. He is the very light of the Father and the image of the Father. He is of such immense, infinite power that he created at the beginning. He sustains all through history, and he possesses at the end. What do you think he did with his great almighty power? Well, read on and find out. He made purification for sins and sat down at the right hand of God. That's what he did. He came to be our Savior. He came to guarantee our eternity. He came to deal with everything absolutely that would stand between us and God and the favor and blessing of God and the eternal companionship of God. He came to make purification. And there it is in a lovely past tense. He made purification. It's done. Again, if you'll pardon the expression, done and dusted. Finished. Nothing more to be said. Indeed, in Jeremiah, the Lord said, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Our sins are so purged away that they're not even in the mind of God. Such is our security in Christ. Such is our guaranteed eternity. That in the past tense of that verb, made purification. All heaven opens before us. And we're welcome and ready and qualified to stand before the Father himself. And the guarantee of that is that Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. The Father said, yes. Yes, you've done it all. Yes, I'm delighted with you. Yes, I accept it all. Yes, it is really done and dusted. Come and sit by me. The wise people in the world, now whether they're right or wrong is not for me to say, but the wise ones in the world say that this letter to the Hebrews was written because there were a number of Christians who had a Jewish background. They'd grown up in the Jewish religion. And they became Christians and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were facing such difficulties, such trials, and such persecutions that they were beginning to wobble. And they were thinking of going back to where they came from. because they loved the religion in which they'd grown up. They loved and rejoiced in its ceremonies and its feasts and its fast. It was familiar. And they were wobbling. Are we going to go on with Christ in the face of all these difficulties? Let's go back and be at peace again, and nobody will bother us. You see? Well, maybe the wise ones of the earth are right. I personally think there's a deeper purpose in the writing of Hebrews than that. But that's all right. That was probably part of the purpose anyway. And here's a writer sitting down to help wobbly Christians. To help those who are finding the going hard. And what does he say to them? He says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Fill your eyes and your minds with who Jesus is, what he has done, how great he is, the eternity of his sacrifice for sin. Fill your eyes with Jesus. And that's my recipe for you for the new year. We're not in danger of wobbling back into Judaism. But oh dear, we are wobbly Christians, aren't we? We're not always too sure of our standing ground. We're not always too resolute in wanting to go forward. We're often conscious of weakness. We fall over endless times. We need the Word of God to wobbly Christians. And what is that word? Have a look at Jesus. He's the final word that God speaks to us. He is the creator, sustainer, and ruler of the world. He brings to us the very light of the Father so that we may live in the light. And he brings to us the image of the Father so that we may look in his face. And he is the one who made purification for our sins, doing for us what no other could do. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. It's the recipe for wobbly Christians. Will you pray with me? Our gracious God, Moses long ago said to you, show me now thy glory. And we make that prayer, and in a moment of quietness, ask you to come to us. Dear Heavenly Father, show us the glory of your Son. Help us in a moment of stillness to look full in his wonderful face. And send us out into this unknown year, determined to keep our eyes upon Jesus.